Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Diane M. Poston, author of On Sacred Ground, is a woman who's reflecting on her life, realizing how she's been led by God in spite of her fears and weaknesses. She shares how she has been inspired by the many teachers in her life, family, friends, experiences, and from the people that she's met. Serving as a hospice chaplain for over 20 years, she realizes now that because of those intimate experiences, she has truly been on sacred ground. Diane is a mother of five sons and one daughter. A Catholic Christian since 18 years of age, she became an accredited Catholic chaplain through the National Association of Catholic Chaplains, served as a hospice chaplain for 30 years, privileged to serve those of all faiths and no faith, those of all nationalities, needs, and personalities. With us on This Week in America, Diane Poston, author of On Sacred Ground. Diane, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Sharing your story is helping so many people. Talk about the decision to write this book On Sacred Ground. What went into the thought process to write this?
Well, in reflecting on my life and the experiences I had as a chaplain, I just felt like I wanted to share this with my children and my grandchildren and those that I've been close to. So I wrote many notes as I experienced the special things that I learned from those I served. And so I used those notes later on to write this book.
There was so much in the book for everybody. And talk about the impact on family. It sounds like it started off just sort of a message to your family, what you learned during this life.
Absolutely, yes. And it was. It was received very well. And they kept saying, why don't you? What I did is I made homemade books that I made myself for Christmas yes. one year and gave it to my family. And they said, why don't you get it published, you know, and so several years later, I decided to go ahead and get it published so that I could share with them again and some friends, too.
Well, and many friends that you don't even know about all around the world that are able to buy the book and get lessons from the book and inspiration from the book. This has to be quite rewarding for you that what you went through, what you share, is helping other people get through similar circumstances.
Well, I hope so. I feel privileged to have met the people that I've met. I just feel so blessed and have learned so much from them.
Well, and I would like to talk about that. By the way, I understand the title. As soon as you started putting your thoughts together, what On Sacred Ground, this was sort of the title that came to you that was in the back of your mind. That sounds like that might have been the easiest part of writing, is you knew what the title was going to be.
Well, yes, because of what I experienced.
Yes.
And looking, reflecting back on my whole life, that I just felt like those that I've met and the experiences I've had has been that I have walked on special, very sacred ground.
It's interesting you go through all that you have learned, probably not all, but quite a bit of what you've learned. And there's so many life lessons for all of us in the book On Sacred Ground. What are some of the highlights? What are some of the things that you've learned that's been impactful in your life?
One of the first experiences I had as a chaplain was in a major hospital in Long Beach. And I went in and I knocked on the door of this patient and introduced myself as Chaplain Diane. And right away he said, oh, no. He says, I don't want a chaplain. He says, I'm not a religious person. And so I started to back out of the room. And all of a sudden, he just kept talking, and he kept saying, you know, he says, I've been here for 2 weeks. He says, and I thought I wasn't going to make it out of this room. He says, I thought I was going to die. And then all of a sudden, tears came to his eyes, and he says, you know, he says, I'm looking at everything differently now. He says, I would have never noticed the sun coming in through the window. He says, I can hardly wait to get to see my wife and my grandchildren. He says, I can hardly wait. And when I left that room, I thought, oh my goodness, here's a non-religious man getting in touch with the spiritual side of himself, maybe for the first time in his life. And I thought, whoa, what an experience that was, and what an insight for me to learn, you know, that not everybody is religious, but there are some people that are getting in touch with the spiritual side, and that's what a chaplain does, or that's what we all should be doing, is looking at the inside of a person and not the outside.
You know, that's interesting, because obviously there was something about you that he felt he needed to share that. Talk about that and that relationship. And I'm assuming one of the qualities needed for a successful chaplain is being able to listen, which is what you did. He was able to open up to you, and you were able to listen.
That's one of the first lessons I learned, too, was from this this other chaplain that wanted me to get interested in chaplaincy. And I said, oh, no, I'm not very good at chit-chat. And he said, it's not about chit-chat, Diane. It's about listening. And I said, oh, I think I might be able to do that. And that's what got me started in chaplaincy, visiting the hospital. Yeah.
You talk about that in the book On Sacred Ground. It's really not something you thought about. You talk about it as sort of a divine calling. This sort of fits into that category. You said, I've never been around a lot of sick people, and I'm not into chit-chatting.
No.
And that's what your life is now, in helping people. This was sort of destined to be for you, wasn't it?
It is. And even at 86 years old now, I find myself still listening, you know, and that it, what a privilege that is to get to know people from the inside out. I go to water aerobics, and I find even in water aerobics, people sharing with me, you know, their lives.
Yes.
And I'm just still in awe at the privilege of listening.
Well, a very youthful 86. Our guest on the program is Diane Possen, and that's P-O-S-S-O-N. Book available wherever books are sold, Amazon at readersmagnet.com. All of that information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. There are people that would go, a chaplain spends a lot of time dealing with people that are dying, and I think that would be depressing. How would people handle that? Talk about that. It's not a totally depressing experience. Explain your emotions as you deal with people that are facing imminent death.
Well, no, I've never felt depressed working with people. I have felt sad. I felt peaceful. I felt frustrated. But it's just such a privilege to get to know the person at the end of their life, and to I do grieve for sure, because I feel sad at the loss of that person that I've gotten to know so well, gotten to really know them from the inside out. And of course I grieve, but when I'm done grieving, what I have left is them inside my heart that I'll have forever. It's a pleasure to be able to share what I've learned from that person, you know, and what a beautiful thing that is. So no, I've never been depressed, but I have grieved.
How important is it to be able to grieve? I would think there were times when you want to cry, you might want to talk it out, you might want to pray it out. How important is it to go through that grief process before you're able to move on?
It is very, very important to be able to grieve, to get it out. I found myself writing a lot because a lot of people did not want to know about my work. I would have people never ask, Diane, how's your work? Because they didn't want to know what it was like.
Yes.
To work with people who are dying. And so what I did is I wrote a lot. And I also shared with my hospice team. We had a support group for my hospice team, and we would share our grief there. And it's really important to cry it out, to write it out, to shout it out if we need to get it out of our gut, because it doesn't go away if we don't grieve.
With us on This Week in America is Diane Possen. That's P-O-S-S-O-N. The book is On Sacred Ground. You'll find it wherever books are sold. Of course, Amazon at readersmagnet.com as well. And all of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Something you talk about and quite proud of is your work with AIDS Hospice. Talk about that and why it's so special to you.
Well, when I started working in hospice, it was in the 80s, and that was the time when there were so many, many, many young people and old people dying of AIDS, and nobody wanted to be a part of that. But our hospice because of the leaders in our hospice, they wanted to learn and get educated on it, and they shared with us the education on what AIDS is and how you get it. So when we went out into the community to work with people with AIDS, we didn't have any fears. And it was such a privilege to meet the people that I met, young people and old people and religious people and people that didn't want to have anything to do with religion. It was a privilege. And the first person I met, I went into the hospital to introduce myself, and he was going to go home. And I went into his, I knocked on his door and went into his room, and the first thing I did was reach out to hold his hand, to shake his hand, and immediately he started crying because for 2 weeks he'd been in the hospital and nobody came and wanted to touch his hand, even the nurses without gloves on and all that. It was right at the first of the 80s when people were so scared of AIDS.
Oh, yes.
And it was a privilege to meet the people I met, you know, to get to know them from the, again, from the inside out. I remember after several years of working in with AIDS patients, and I went to the quilt at one of the big colleges in L.A., and the quilt was hanging from all over the pavilion from the ceiling, and I thought, oh, my God, here's the loved ones that put together all these beautiful handmade quilts to talk about their loved ones. And I remember just standing there and just crying because I had the privilege of meeting some of these beautiful people.
You know, it's amazing. Something as simple as a touch can really turn around someone who is facing you know, life-threatening illness. The book is filled with stories like that from Diane Poston, our guest on the program. The book is On Sacred Ground. As you go through this and dealing with the ups and downs in your life and the ups and downs in the life, many downs in the lives of the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis, what helps you? How do you get through all of this?
Well, I have people in my life. I had my husband was my greatest supporter. He knew how to be there for another person, and especially me. He was proud of me, and he loved me, and he held me, and he just was there. And other people too, close friends that I have that have been there for me. And writing again, and music has been a big part of my life too. I love music, and I play the guitar a little bit and sing a little bit, not that well, but it really has helped me to get out my feelings and to bring in feelings too.
I guess to change your mood, you're not going to cut an album, it's just something you want to do for your own enjoyment, and it gives you that release. It's interesting,
right.
As you are starting and you are learning, I mean, they can tell you how to deal with each individual patient, but I'm sure each one is unique and you have to bring a certain set of skills to that individual person. Who gave you support in the beginning? Because you're giving support to all these people, but and maybe even up until the end as you were doing this, it is a unique experience each time you walk in that room, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yes. I think, because I'm a person that has had a lot of fear about meeting new people, and I don't think I ever did not have a little bit of fear when I'd knock on a door or I'd call a person and invite myself over for a visit, you know. But once I was there, I opened myself up to the visit, it was an experience, a wonderful experience. But I think courage is not being afraid. It's stepping out in spite of your fear, and that's what I learned to do, is to make those calls or to knock on those doors. And I'm still doing that. I still have fear, but I'm learning to be more courageous in my life.
You know, it's amazing.
Sometimes I have to force myself.
Well, yes, and we all go through that, and sometimes we think, okay, there's really not much more I can learn. Every day's a learning experience, isn't it?
Absolutely. It sure is.
Diane Poston, our guest on the program, that's P-O-S-S-O-N. The book is On Sacred Ground. You mentioned on this before, and I want to go back because this is so important. Music, the role of music, maybe that we'll talk about, maybe writing, which was something that got you through some periods of difficult periods of your life. How important is music in serving the sick in terms of mind and body? And you've probably seen that, where old music brings back fond memories and a smile to the faces. Well, talk about the role of music.
Yes, music for some people, not all people, but many people, music feeds the soul. And I've seen that over and over again. I have a few songs in Spanish for the people that don't speak English, and I've used the Spanish music to be there for, so that I can bring consolation in music. One patient I would visit in the nursing home, and she loved music, so I would bring my guitar in and sit and play some of her favorite songs. And there was a man in the next bed that was comatose, and as I played music for her, his toes would go with the rhythm of the music, and he couldn't speak or do anything else, but when I'd play, he would move, and that was a big lesson for me, you know, the music. Music calms the soul. Yeah.
Well, the power of music, and you can see that response that music is getting. Your experiences, painful, joyful, what you went through, how did those experiences teach you to be more compassionate to others? And I'm assuming that they did, that your experiences you draw from in dealing with the lives of other people.
Yes. Yes. It helped me to be grateful for so much in my life. It helped me to... I had one person, this Mr. Kwan. He was a Chinese Buddhist man, and he taught me so much about, every time I would see him, I'd visit him, he would fold his hands together and bow his head and allow me into his little one-room apartment, and we'd just sit there, most of all just in quiet and peacefulness. But when I would leave, he would again fold his hands and bow his head. And one day, after many months of this, I asked him, "Mr. Kwan, what does it mean when you bow your head and put your hands together?" He says, "Ah," he says, "I thank God for coming to me through you." And I thought, whoa, what a lesson that was for me, because now maybe I can go forth and look at a person and inside myself say, "Thank you, God, for coming to me today through you." And that's how I feel right now as I'm talking to you, Rick. You know, thank you, God, for coming to me through your voice today. Thank you.
Well, and thank you for coming to us, because it's been a fascinating conversation and one that is going to touch a lot of people. And time is going by quickly. A few minutes left in the program. When you look back over 30 years of serving the dying and their loved ones, what stands out? Because I get the impression that each individual that you met left a little bit of them in Diane.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And made me grateful for made me grateful to be alive, made me grateful for life and breath and ears to hear and mouth to taste and nose to smell and legs to walk and heart to love and to forgive and to include. All the people that have taught me these wonderful lessons in life have made me, like I say, at 86, just thankful for life and breath.
What are you most grateful for this career that you've had, the sort of unexpected career that you had, for someone that didn't like chit-chat, and that's how you provided a roof over everybody's head for the last multiple decades. What are you most grateful for with this whole experience?
Well, I think not to judge anybody. You know, that when you listen and you find out who that person is way down deep inside, there's a light in there, there's a soul in there, there's a gem inside that person. How can you ever judge somebody from the outside? You have to look within, and that's what I've learned through the years.
And just in the to sort of wrap up this conversation, but it's interesting, you've helped so many people, hundreds, maybe thousands over the course of your career, and family members as well. In fact, I want to come back to that in a second. What has this done for you? I'm sure each one has shaped you, and it's made you a better person.
I just think it's made me grateful for God, for my life. Just grateful that I've had the opportunity to learn through the people that I've served and through my family and friends, and I just am grateful to be alive.
I mentioned there, and I was thinking of this as I was talking, but it's interesting, all of these individuals that are there that you are dealing with have family. Probably many of them are in and out of the room from time to time. What's the relationship with family members? Because I'm thinking the impact you have on the person who is there that you're there to talk to also has impact on the whole family and can put them at ease, I guess, is what I'm asking, as someone is a loved one is going through a very difficult situation. You have a family impact as well, I would assume.
Yes, it's a whole unit. It's a whole unit. I work with the families as much as I did with the person themselves. A lot of people didn't have families. When I worked in an inpatient hospice, a lot of the people that lived there with AIDS didn't have any families. In fact, some of the families would not have anything to do with them. But those that came and were there and with their loved ones, it was a whole unit that I worked with. And just to have a whole family be around that person as they're breathing their last breaths, you know, and asking the people that are standing there, let's share what you're most thankful for that person, you know, and talking about their lives together and praying with them and listening to them is a privilege. Real privilege.
You've become part of many families, haven't you, that you've dealt with over the years and been there. And
I have.
You think about those that do not have family members there for whatever reason. You talk about the AIDS situation, or people may have out of town, take a sudden turn for the worse, and a family can't get there. You are family. You are that person that's there towards the end that is giving them peace, comfort, and serenity.
Yes, yes. Yes, and it's my privilege to be there. That's, you know, I'm so grateful that I can be there to hold a hand, to say a prayer, to just be quiet, you know, just to be with them. It's a holy, sacred moment.
Well, and because of your book, in looking at chaplains, and we all see them in the hospital, and we may welcome them, we may dismiss them. I am not of a particular faith. I don't need to see a chaplain. Your role is just as vital as the medical community in the hospital, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is.
Yes.
Yes, I think it's the body, mind, and spirit. You know, we're not just one thing. We're not just the body. We're a whole person. And so I think it takes a whole team to be there for that person.
The book is On Sacred Ground. It's available Amazon, readersmagnet.com. And you've been working with Reader's Magnet in getting this message out to the public, the book On Sacred Ground. What has it been like working with Reader's Magnet?
Well, the people that I've talked to have been very, very sweet, very nice and helpful, and have checked up on me to see how I'm doing, and I've appreciated them very much.
You know, you're a youthful 86 with many stories to tell. Are you working on another book?
No.
No, this is it. This,
no.
This is it.
No, this is it.
Well, get the book, read it, enjoy it. It is eye-opening. It will be inspirational, motivational. It will assist you. The book is On Sacred Ground by Diane Possen. That's Posson. Book available wherever books are sold, Amazon or readersmagnet.com, all of the usual places. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly, get information on Diane and her book, On Sacred Ground. Diane, it's been truly a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. On Sacred Ground by Diane Possen. Book available at Amazon, readersmagnet.com. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.